Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Not all monsters are under the bed. Some are sleeping next to you. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The New Orleans terrorist attack and the attack in Las Vegas on New Year's Day. So many questions yet to be answered and so many things developing on this. So keep that in mind as you're watching or listening to this. There's likely more information already out there. But we're going to talk about what we know thus far. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. You know, I have so many questions on this, but the first person I thought of was you when all this started going down. And I'm just going to open it up directly to you. What has been your initial thoughts on this and where have they gone since the news broke?
Yeah, Tony, this is a big one. First of all, we have as you just said, you know, we've got to time stamp it a little bit because we have literally a fire hose of data points coming at us on this one. And I remember you reached out to me, like you said, a couple days ago, right when it first happened before the recording. And one of your first questions was, you know, talking about the breakdown of security of this event. And that really got me thinking, you know, when you look at the video that we see of the law enforcement on the ground responding like this, I mean, they were boots on the ground running towards the fire. They were doing everything that makes us proud in the law enforcement community as an American, as just a citizen, right? They did all the right things. So that's not the problem. Then I was also listening to another book today, and they're talking about how, you know, and I'm going to come back around to your question, obviously. But, you know, mass shootings and mass killings in the United States has been on a rise, but the death from those killings has been actually going down. And that's because we've done a really better job as institutions, as a country, to respond after things have happened. But we still haven't really attacked the problem of preventing them from in the first place. And so that brings us to here, to New Orleans. When I first watched, and I watched the briefing live on the first press conference, and I had, my initial reaction was very similar to, I think, a lot of people that have been. It's like kind of a disjointed show, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a few things that struck me with that gave me that impression. It's like when I get a feeling or emotion about something, I ask myself, what specifically am I seeing that is incongruent with things I've seen in the past that allows me to feel that way? In other words, I'm having a spiking from a norm, and there's behaviors in there that's seen that. And the first thing that got me was the FBI was the first to brief. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before.
That is interesting. They were right,
So that was really that. Yeah, so, you know, anytime an event happens, especially a tragedy like this, in a local jurisdiction, which everything's a local jurisdiction, normally you have the chief of police or that mayor of that jurisdiction brief first. That wasn't the case here.
What does that tell you with the fact that went first? Was there some knowledge to the plan here? Like, I don't know. Like, you tell me.
So let's look at, we got to look at the date.
Yeah.
This is New Year's Day. And so it was also the assistant special agent in charge that was briefing, not the SAC, special agent in charge. Special agent in charge, from what I understand, was out of the country for some reason. And so that was awful, a little off for me as well, that you have a pretty junior executive. I mean, matter of fact, the assistant special agent in charge isn't even at the senior executive service level yet. She's not an SESer, you know. So, and in the military, that's like the generals are at that level.
Okay.
So she is two steps above a street agent. You have street agent, supervisory special agent, assistant special agent in charge. So she's in the leadership in the office, but not high up. Higher up, I should say. Not as much as experience. And so, and then you had the disconnection between what she was briefing and then what was briefed by others in that same press conference when terrorist act, not a terrorist act, multiple people, not multiple people. So it was kind of disjointed, right? So anytime I see a lack of coordinated communication, I see a lack of communication. Lack of communication comes down to challenging leadership issues. Well, it's also New Year's Day. So the likelihood of having your A-team on a holiday low.
Yeah.
Right. So that's part of the challenging equation here. But then I go all the way back beyond leadership and deeper than leadership. So we go into prevent.
Mm-hmm.
And so my initial impression after a disjointed kind of press conference, which seemed weird to me because of the order of how people spoke, was people, we've gotten better at responding to these things and preventing worse deaths. I mean, even this, you know, these officers responding like this prevented more tragedy from happening, especially from all the weapons that were found in the vehicles. So what we also have, though, is what could really prevent this? You're not going to stop human nature. He's going to kill people no matter what. He was radicalized, as we're hearing from the data points now. Intelligence collection is what prevents things.
And sure.
So it was a lack of intelligence ahead of time.
But also, I don't know, maybe investing the couple hundred bucks for a few more concrete barriers. I mean, like that right there is just seems to be the crux of a lot of this. You're not going to stop crazy people from doing shit. That's why you have preventative measures. And this just seems to me to be such an idiotic move that there wasn't something more there. You're like the number two spot in America on that night and most of the year for an attack like this. How can you ever say, oh, we're going to do something temporary over here that's not quite as good and expect it to work, especially on your biggest night of the year? Is this just ignorance? Is just people, you know, that they don't quite grasp what people are capable of doing, being too comfortable for too long without having something horrible happen in our country? I mean, that to me has been my biggest question on this. And I don't think anybody, I hope to God, nobody on the inside was somehow coordinated with this, allowing this to happen. I think it should be looked at, to be sure, but it's just, I don't know, it's shocking to me. I mean, you were right there. You were at 9/11. You were down there. Yeah. I was in a different part of the country, but I was a grown adult, and I remember it. We seem to have lost our sense here of what we need to do to secure ourselves in situations like.
So to me, it's and so that was another data point as I was going to talk about as well. But it's an escalation of levels of failure on is what I'm seeing. Failure of coordination between, I mean, and you saw it in the press conference. You know, these snippets of time give us a glimpse behind the curtain. You know, when you see in a press conference a lack of coordinated message, that is an initial sign to me that we don't have good coordination potentially between, especially when I've never seen law enforcement at a lower level defer immediately to FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Even though FBI is going to be the lead investigator on this as a terrorism act, obviously, it happens, I guess, but I've never seen.
Did they just not want to show incompetence? I mean, and just like, here, you guys do it. You're better.
Right. And then we have a guarantee it's an intelligence failure because all these things, it would not have gotten to the last level of protection you're talking about where the last failure happened with those barriers if the other levels of protection, which are supposed to prevent those from happening, are in place. Intelligence collection. And so what prevents intelligence collection in a proactive way? Because when you prevent something from happening, you don't know what you're ever going to prevent. It's a very challenging thing for organizations that measure by stats what you accomplished. People get paid by accomplishing things. Things are generally reactive. I lived in the world of counterintelligence my entire career.
Yeah.
And justifying what we were doing to prevent horrible things from happening, it's a very challenging thing. And intelligence collection to do that is also very challenging because unless you have someone that actually gets it, you don't understand that we need to pour all these resources, these manpowers. We need to have people in mosques. We need to have people talk to people in mosques. Whatever legally we're allowed to do, you need to talk to people that are going to see when someone like this guy gets spiked and radicalized so we know where to focus. Because if we had focus, if we had intelligence first, none of this would have happened. We wouldn't have need those barriers. It's all these levels have completely broken down in that one area.
I completely agree. Beyond that and the deeper level, exactly what you're talking about, 1,000% agree. And then it's just the most simple place, though, but could have prevented this is what is so shocking to me. And there's, and I'm not a country music person, but I remember the song, Have You Forgotten by Daryl Worley, yeah, like right after 9/11. I would say yes, we have. Very much so. But I think it's generational. I'm very curious, actually. One of the things I wonder about is who are making these security decisions and what age were they? And what experience level had they had in a world where we were facing real threats that we had lived through? And some people, you know, they weren't there. They were kids or they weren't even born. It's like us looking at Pearl Harbor for our parents and grandparents and stuff. Because I think it looks like common sense for some of us who've been through those years to go, why would you not have that here? It doesn't need to be that complicated. But apparently it does in some ways.
You know, you hit it right on the head with this too. It's a lack of reps.
Yeah, it's reps.
Specific areas.
Yeah.
And think about this. You know, so here's the most basic, and I'm good friends with a lot of people that do this groundwork security stuff, and even a layman like me, you know, which is what we talk about on our show all the time, is deep empathy. Yeah. Empathy from the standpoint of, and it's not empathy, remember, empathy is not agreeing with someone. Empathy is not being compassionate. Empathy is just understanding the optic. And here's what you need. Here's what they failed to do in New Orleans is have empathy. Mm-hmm. In other words, if I wanted to kill a lot of people, which is my job to prevent, how would I do it? Yeah. How would I get around? And that's exactly what the terrorist did. He looked and he said, here's how I'm going to beat this system. And he beat it.
Anybody could look at it and do that. I mean,
I know. And that's what they didn't do to prevent it.
Yeah. And that's the shocking part of it. That's the part I just can't get over. It's like, I'm not a terrorist. If I were to but I might look for these things because we've lived through that era. So like your eyes kind of look around going, what could possibly happen here? And like I would, if I were walking down that street, I'd be like, this is kind of weird. There's not real secure barriers for this. But it's, there's just so many things in this. Let's talk for a moment about the actual characters themselves. I mean, these are people who were not from the Middle East. I mean, we have, one who I believe appears to be Arab in nature, but he's an American. He grew up American. He's 100%. I mean, look at his real estate video that was out recently. I mean, you look at that, and the last thing you're going to think is this guy's going to go do a freaking terrorist attack. You look at his picture and you go, oh, he resembles 9/11. And it's like, and then he's a realtor and he's not at all what you think in that thing. But obviously had a lot of difficulties, divorced twice, but he had kids. But obviously things did not work out well here. Is this your typical type terrorist that's been radicalized? Or is this someone who had like a mental break and really just kind of went down a dark path really quick?
Yeah, I think you hit it right there. You know, so what we see in all these situations where someone is gets to the point where their problem solving skills goes to murder and taking lives and violence, mm-hmm. it's an escalation of challenging situations that they seem to have a inability to problem solve through.
Yeah.
And again, when you flip that switch and you see the world through the optic of I'm a victim and the world's out to get me.
Wound collector.
No other choice. This was a 100% wound collector, victim mentality, and this is how they decide to solve their problem. And when you have someone that becomes vulnerable psychologically to outside input, that's where radicalization can come in. That radicalization is the same thing. It's cult. It's a cult mentality. This is how the cults take over too. They get love bombed. Or in this case, might have been solution bombed. We have a solution for you. Go do this, and you'll find your salvation in the afterlife, or whatever bill of goods they were selling this guy. Because even his brother, you know, the data points as today are saying that he was they. If I understood what I read first on this was they grew up Christian.
Yeah.
And again, when you look at his military service in the Army, it looked like a good service record.
It was a great service record.
Again, challenging situations through life that everyone deals with. Okay, you have some divorce, you have some financial issues, but it looks like he was attempting to problem solve the entire time but again, this is what I think from our standpoint today of what we know in the from the socials and media, we don't have the full picture here. There was something tragic, and there was something that happened in there that we're not seeing that gave that spike out of the norm.
It does seem like amateur hour in terms of terrorists when you got a vehicle through there. You got a truck through because of security lapses, which were pretty evident, which if you knew the city and you kind of knew how the city works. It's like, they're not going to have this fixed by that thing. And there's your way in if you decide you want to do it. But the fact that, I mean, he had all these other IEDs he was supposedly going to set off and all this stuff. It's like, none of it happened. I mean, fairly amateur hour. The other guy in Vegas had fireworks in the back of his truck. I mean, it was like, what are you planning here? It's like wannabe terrorism certainly does some damage and gets a lot of attention. And obviously a huge loss of life in New Orleans. But it did not seem to be what I think we would, I guess, normally consider to be like a radicalized terrorist in terms of 9/11 coming into our country with a bigger plan. This seems, and maybe we'll find out there's a few more people involved. I don't know. But it does seem kind of like we're the terrorist club and we're pretending we're part of this.
You know, it's the sad truth of both of these is that, especially with the one in Vegas, he, from what we know right now, he shot himself in the head first before the truck blew off.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at his service record, very distinguished service record. In that case, in both cases, anytime you're dealing with individuals like this that do the mass killings, I think what I saw the stat on is 95% to 99% are suicidal to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're dealing here is two veterans, you know. So I mean, just think about this. I think the veteran mental health issue is going to leak into this at some point as well. That's especially with the Vegas one. The New Orleans one, I think again, pure conjecture, he had a gap in that mental capacity of problem solving, being suicidal, and in comes a solution through some ISIS propaganda crap. And he wound up killing a lot of other people along the way, as well as himself. I mean, that was a suicide run. There's no doubt it's a suicide run. I mean, you don't do what he did without knowing you're going to die.
Yeah. It's obviously all those side questions are there no matter what. As of right now, there's a lot of questions about, are these two connected? There is overlapping time at Fort Bragg. That's what we have. We have that, and they use the same app to get the vehicles through Turo, and obviously the events happened on the same day. That's as of our recording what we know. What are your thoughts on these being related? Is this just a lot of weird coincidences at one time for a country that's really kind of at a burning point?
You know, I'm going to go against what I normally do in these cases. When I first saw the timing of the two, I am not a coincidence guy. Normally when things line up, they're connected in some way, but here's the linkage. I think the linkage we're seeing is the only linkage we know. They happen to be in the army. They happen to serve at the same places. They might've used the same app because maybe that's what everyone at the army.
It can seem reasonable that you would be doing these things. And Fort Bragg is not like a little village. I mean, it's a city.
I'm actually broadcasting from that area right now.
So there you go.
Fayetteville, Virginia. I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And so I think, you know, when you have individuals that served in similar places, similar times, they're going to learn similar ways of doing things. And I think the timing as of right now, I think it is coincidental because their motivations do seem to be very different. You have one guy that is using a cyber truck, you know, and apparently voted for Trump in a very clear suicide by shooting himself first before he blows up the truck, not trying to, at least he's not driving that truck through a mass crowd. And then you have another one with an ISIS flag on the back of the truck driving through a crowd.
Yeah.
So the intent seems to be a bit different. Although the end result, killing themselves, I think is the congruence.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's, I am curious though, if we're going to find more connections.
Yeah, me too.
Shape or form. Yeah, there's a lot of more I'm sure going to be talking about in the following weeks on this one. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.